Good morning. Welcome to Easter service. I'm glad to see so many people here today. And I want to continue in good news. Hey, Benny, thank you. Welcome. We are, for those of you that are visiting today, I want to tell you something about this church briefly. Is we're we call ourselves the Wandering Hebrews. We call ourselves a church with no walls. There's no salaries here. We don't have a building fund. We've decided we'll never have a building. We do rent this space. But when we gather offerings, we give it away. And we're trying to keep the simplicity of the gospel and the message and just being a church family, just keeping it simple. And we're in this exploration of finding God's truth. And we've been on kind of a series of what is God's truth. And I told the congregation some weeks ago I started studying the Hebrew messages from the Hebrew language and some of the Greek and reading more and more about church history. And boy, my eyes were open to all kinds of things. So what I do here is present to you what I am discovering, what's making sense to me, but in no way am I telling you have to believe the way I believe, because this is a journey. Christianity is a journey, but the news is tremendous. And that's what I'm going to leave you with today. I'm going to start off with a little story today. Imagine you go to the mailbox Monday morning, and the mailman has left you a very thick envelope. It's very official looking. As a matter of fact, when you look at the return address, it's got some attorney firm in New York City. And you don't know anybody in New York City. So obviously your curiosity has been piqued. So you get it into the kitchen table, you open this, it's a thick document. And and most of us not being attorneys, although we have some attorneys here, would read this and go, what in the world is this saying? A bunch of legalese. But you're skimming through it, and you notice in there something you do understand. It says some, and it gives a name, who you have no idea who this person is. Maybe some lost long relative, whatever. There's a name that you do not recognize. And it says that you have inherited an estate, a large estate, land, a home, and a large sum of money. And you continue reading, and you notice that it's already been done. Everything's been transferred into your name. Well, if you're like most people today with all the scams and the fake news and everything else, I would imagine the first thing you would think is, okay, there's got to be a mistake. I don't know this person. I don't know any attorney firm in New York. This makes no sense. It's deep, it's thick. I mean, what do I do with this? I've inherited land and a mansion and a bunch of money. Well, if you throw this document down, some people may just throw it away, say there's no way. But probably most of us would be intrigued enough to begin investigating what in the world. I know it would capture my attention enough that I would have to investigate further. You'd probably call an attorney. You'd probably say, hey, what do you make of this? Of course, if you go to the wrong attorney, somebody that's not familiar with New York's estate laws or whatever, you could get the wrong advice. What I just told you was a parable of what I think happens in many churches today. There's great news. It's tremendous news. But if you go to the wrong person, you could get the wrong advice. And therefore, this estate that you've inherited may or may not ever come to fruition. You may never get to enjoy it. However, what you learn is there is nothing you have to sign or do. It is real. It has been transferred to your name. And what I'm going to, the good news today is that you've all inherited a state. Whether you go to church, you don't go to church. Whether you believe or don't believe, when Jesus died on the cross, he died for everyone. There is a gift waiting for you. It doesn't matter. You might be here today and go, you know, I don't even believe in this stuff. It's okay. You've still inherited the state, which is eternal life. It's still there. And that's what I've been uncovering when I begin studying the Hebrew and the Greek and church history. And so it's an interesting thing because this book here, which I've been reading for 40 years now, it's full of legalese. It's full of a lot of complicated stories. It's full of a lot of things that are extremely hard to explain. But now, after 40 years, it's like someone has turned the light on to me, and I have this brand new hope in the message. What I'm going to do here right now is I'm going to show three pictures. What I want you to do when we show this is look at the pictures carefully and tell me if you can determine what this picture is about. Now, Barb and Brad and Darren, you're not allowed to participate in this because you may recognize this. So let's have picture number one. Look at this closely. Anybody have any clue what that might be? How about picture number two? How about now? Doesn't that clarify things? How about picture number three? Now hold off. Don't show picture number four yet. I'm giving you another parable. What happens to many of us in church is we get into the Bible, people have studied this, and you start looking very closely at every little line. And you think, what could that mean? I wonder what that is. Wonder what that is. Let's show the fourth picture. That painting right there, which is in Hawaii, by the way, all those three things I showed you are very close-up photographs of what's in that painting. It's not until you step back and get your eye much further away than this that you can see, my gosh, it's a beautiful mountain range out in some desert area. But those three, go back to a couple of those previous pictures. That, and the one before, and that, and the one before, and that is all in. So that. That's what's in there. If you get that close to that painting. Do you guys remember that painting? It was in that house we stayed at. Well, you're not artists, so that's what I focus on. So, actually, I'm not an artist either, but I really enjoy art. So what happens is, what I've learned about the Bible, for me, is I've stood back and started taking a bigger view rather than all these. Now, I will tell you, if I took out any of those brush strokes out of that painting, it would not turn out. There would be a hole. You would miss them. They are all vital. Every brush stroke is vital to make that happen. But when we focus this close to it, you miss the big picture. And I'm going to tell you what the big picture in this book is. It's Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful picture of Him and what He's done for every man, woman, and child that has ever lived and whoever will live. That's the big picture that it's painting for me. And what I want to do is take you through... It's going to be a simple message today. You can accept. It's just like this getting the legal envelope in the mail. You can accept it or not accept it, but I don't know how to say it any plainer. And let me tell you something about this. Let me catch up with my notes. Man and God. There's been this difficult relationship. So what man has done, because this is what we do, is we formed a system to try to understand God. And the system that we formed is called church. And here's what I've learned. We've messed some things up. We've missed some things. The system became more important than what Jesus actually taught us. I've said this before here. Don't get lost in your religion. Go to Jesus, because in the Bible it says, if you know Jesus, Jesus told His disciples, if you see Me, you've seen God. If you hear the words I'm teaching, these are God's words. You see the works I'm doing, these are the works of God. I've come right from My Father. I'm bringing it here. Last week we talked about the new wine and the old wineskins. Jesus came to tell us about a whole different system. But what He taught us was that according to the scriptures that I read and I step back and see, that Jesus died for everyone so that everyone, see, we're all His children. Every man and woman and child that's ever been born, we all belong to God. And the great news, the best news, the tremendous news is that He, when He died, He took away your sins, whether you're a believer or not. He took away my sins, whether you're a believer or not. He took away everyone's sins, whether you go and belong to a church or not. It's part of the estate plan. And people say, well, Kent, if it's true that everyone is going to end up in heaven, which is what I believe, not telling you, I know we've all been taught there's a burning hell. A bunch of people are going to go to hell. Broad is the path that leads to destruction, but narrow is the path that leads to life. See, and I've taught on that. I don't even believe that's what that's about. But there's a bunch of people that say basically millions and billions of people are going to end up in a burning hell where there is, according to some of the church doctrine, that you are going to burn forever in a conscious state and complete misery and awfulness. That makes absolute, that's never made sense to me when Jesus taught that we're to forgive our enemies, we're forgive them 70 times 7, that He would go after the last sheep, if it, whatever it took to find anybody, and there's a bunch of scriptures that say, look, when I died, I did it for everyone. But we've got this crazy doctrine, and we're inviting people to become a Christian. And why do we want to become a Christian? So you don't burn in hell forever and ever and ever. I don't buy that. Everyone has been saved according to what I am reading and discovering after I start reading the Hebrew and the Greek and church history. You see, in the Old Testament, which was in Hebrew language, do you know how many times the word hell shows up in the Old Testament? The burning hell? How many times? Anybody know? Okay, that's 3/4 of the Bible is the Old Testament. Now, here's my one question to you. If there's a burning hell, wouldn't God the Father, who says He loves all of us, wouldn't there be warning signs from Genesis all the way through the entire Bible? In the entire Old Testament, that burning hell is zero. It shows up zero in the original. It doesn't exist. Man put it in when they came up with the church system to place fear in our heart. Why? Why would they do that? Because so we have to rely on church and the priest. And the forgiving of sins, and you got to be here, and you got to pay money, and you got to do this. It's a crazy system. You know, we're messed up. We're people. Jesus died for you. You have a place in heaven. So the question may be, well, Kent, if that's true, why do we even have church? Why even preach? I've got a great answer for that. Because He wants us to start experiencing heaven and the gloriness of God here and now. In the Lord's Prayer, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so the reason we would meet and come together is so we can realize what Jesus did and have that belief so that we can begin walking in the grace, in the love, in the compassion that Jesus has for everyone. That is why. It's like having someone with that document you got in the mail say, hey, this is legit. You can start enjoying this estate and the money and the land right now. All you got to do is accept it. Go on and it's there. It's there for your using right now, everyone. So it's an amazing promise. This is the best news we ever, news that I think I've understood completely. It answers so many questions for me now. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to show you some scriptures. And while we're reading these scriptures, I want you to have this question in the back of your mind. According to the Bible, who is going to be left out of God's grand inheritance when we start reading these questions? Who's going to be left out? So let's go to the scriptures. We're going to start with Romans. For if by the trespass of one man, which was Adam, death reigned through one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through one man, Jesus Christ? Next. Consequently, wait a minute. Just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people. In other words, Adam, because of Adam, we all must die. He transgressed God's word. So also, one righteous act of Jesus resulted in justification and life for what? All people. We're going to die because of Adam, but guess what? We're all going to live again because of Jesus. Next. 1 Corinthians. For as Adam, all die, So in Jesus Christ, all will be made alive. Next. There is one body and one spirit. Just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. We are part of God's family, whether you believe it or not. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell with Him, Jesus, and through Him to reconcile Himself to all things. Jesus wants to reconcile everything back to Him, whether things on earth, things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Next. In Him, Jesus, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of His will, the mystery of His will to His good pleasure, which He proposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment. In other words, everybody will come to know Christ eventually to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Next. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peacefully and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news." This is when he was born. "That will cause great joy for all people." Is that the last one? "It is written, 'Surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God the Father.'" And the last. "For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor any power, no power, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God." Nothing can separate us from the love of God. If He's going to love us that way, how in the world would He send anyone to hell? He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now, when you read those scriptures, let me ask something. Who is left out? Huh? Who's left out? Who's going to be sent away? No, do you see what that means? The people that you love that haven't been going to church and you're worried about them, stop worrying about them. They're going to be saved. The difference is, the whole difference in all this, and by the way, from here for the rest of the year, I'm going to be teaching on all this because I think I can answer every question. Before, as a pastor, there were times people came to me when I thought that I was an Armenian, that it's all by choice, that I couldn't answer some of the questions. It made no sense. Now I can answer any question. The whole thing that separates us and keeps us apart many times is just the structure of the way we've been brought up in silly, crazy churches, which, by the way, is us. Bonnie made that point this morning. We are the crazy, silly ones. We've been taught wrong. We could go on and on, but you're all waiting for ham. You're waiting for ham, and I understand that. I am too. I want you to leave here to go, "Oh my gosh, it doesn't matter. We're all going to heaven together." The difference is, the reason for this and the reason for teachers and preachers is that so we can join, get involved now with Jesus' plan, which that's another whole topic, so we can start enjoying the love, peace, and joy that He will offer in this life, no matter what it is we're facing. It's the grandest, most revelation news that I've ever finally is filled my spirit. And what I want to end with, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn it. He didn't come to condemn us, but to save us. There is no condemnation. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And before I finish up here and we get to communion, let me say this. In one of my favorite parables in the entire Bible is the prodigal son. You know, and hopefully most of you know it. I'm not going to read the whole thing. But basically, it's about this rich man who had two sons. And the youngest son, he wants all his inheritance now. And he takes all his money, and his dad does that, and he goes off and he spends it on wild women and wine and this. I don't know why it couldn't have been a daughter and he spent it on wild men and wine and whatever, but the point is the same. So he goes out and blows it. He squanders it. He says that he does this sinful life. And he ends up in a pig pen because he's broke. He spent everything. He did everything wrong. Drinking, carousing, whatever young people do. I was young once. I probably did it. So he finally, he's like, whoa, what's wrong? And when he finally decides, I think I'm going to go back to Dad and see what's happening. I think it was better there. And he goes back, and what's Dad, who represents God, do? He runs out to him, puts a robe on him, puts a ring on his finger. Let's throw a party. That's what today's about. But here's the interesting thing. The other brother, what does the other brother do? He is ticked off that the young son is getting brought back in. They're throwing this big barbecue and cake and ice cream and party hats and favors and inviting the friends over. And what's the older son says, but I've done all this for you. And let me change it a little bit. I've gone to church every Sunday. I've tithed. I've been a Sunday school teacher. I have swept the floors. I've mowed the lawn at the church. I've done this. I've done that. I've done this. I've done that. He's mad. He's mad that his father would have that much grace. Shouldn't there have been punishment? That parable tells us no. And what's the father say to this son? The religious one who wants to follow all the rigid rules. I did this. I did this. In other words, he was trying to earn his favor. It says in the Bible, it is by grace, Jesus' grace, that we're saved. And the father says, son, you've had all this all along. In other words, the oldest son, he had his letter, his legal document. He had full access to everything in the estate, but instead of enjoying it, he was dreading it. He hated the rules. He hated all the regulations, and therefore there was no joy in his life. But the father reminded him, you've been part of this since day one. Why aren't you rejoicing with me that your brother who was lost and dead is now alive and back with us? Simple story, and I could go on and on with parables, but I won't, because you have ham to eat. So today what we're going to do, isn't that good news? Does it make sense to you, or am I the only crazy one? I'm going to tell you something right now. There are pastors in the United States right now that have begun preaching this. There is something happening. It's the Holy Spirit is reigniting something. We're entering a new season in this. Trust me, there's a spiritual happening. You're going to hear more and more and more about universal salvation. Trust me, you are. But I'm going to tell you what's happening. As soon as denominations are finding out that a pastor is teaching that, they're getting booted. They're getting kicked out. I mean, right and left. So if you don't see me, oh, that's right, we don't belong to a denomination, everyone. It's like, I said, what are they going to do, fire me? It's great news, isn't it? Do you understand what this will do? For, you know, earlier this year, before this all awakened to me, I was saying, you know, the one thing we're missing is we're not evangelizing enough people. Well, the reason it's hard to evangelize, who wants to go out and say, well, yeah, you got to follow this, 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 or you may end up in hell forever. And that's the good news? No, the good news is they're already saved. I don't care who you're talking about. They're going to be in heaven with you. That is news. So today, this half will come here. This half will come here. And what we're doing is we are celebrating what the blood of Jesus did. It has freed each and every one of us. Each and every one of us has been set free. I don't care if you're a believer or not. I got news for you. There's a place for you in heaven. And hopefully you'll receive that and begin walking in the joy and the love and the peace that's available to everyone. Benny, you can join in anytime you want. This is the table of grace. It's for everyone. Everyone's invited. Everyone. You come to this table. So today, to save time, what we're doing, we have our two. Oh, so what is a church that has no salaries or anything collecting offering for? Let me tell you, in case you're a visitor. Number one, you don't have to participate in the offering. But we're going to do that as you come up, for those of you that do. We give the money away. That's what we do. It's fun. Our board meets four times a year, and it's the only board I've ever been on where I don't think there's ever been an argument. It's just fun. Gary's our leader. He makes it fun. How much money you want to give to this? Or what, you know, I mean, it's just fun. So today, we come and we gather. And let me think. Brad? I'm going to have two people on each side. It'll be me and Brad, and let's have Mark and Denise. You want to help? You were on that side. One of you on that side. There you go. So the body, the Christ died for us. He broke His body. And by the way, when they were nailing Him to His cross, think about this. Think about hell again, one more time. Wouldn't the people that nailed Jesus to the cross that wanted Him dead, if anybody went to hell, wouldn't they be in hell? What did He say? Forgive them, Father. They don't even know what they're doing. Forgive them. He forgave them right then and there. So this body that's broken for you, come today, participate in the broken body of Christ because of the gift He's given us. And He took the cup and He said, this is my wine, the blood that has been poured out for you, the blood of a brand new covenant. We're getting rid of the old. We're getting rid of the old Jewish ways. There's no more need for sacrifice. This is the final sacrifice as me. No more killing of lambs. No more killing of each other. It's about forgiveness, love, and grace. So come, for all things are prepared and now ready.